Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and you are tuning in to the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, where we have fun, frolic, foodies every Saturday, and we're going to do it again this Saturday morning. We are cranking it up here to get started. And as always on Blog Talk Radio, we are having fun this morning. Didn't know if I was going to be on the show or not because, literally 15 minutes before the show, nothing was working on the board. But, hey, we made it. We're here. And thank you for joining us this morning for another fun-packed show. Also wanted to mention that last week we broke all the records that we've had to date on the number of listeners of the show. The archives have been going crazy. You guys have really been checking out the show. We appreciate everything that you're doing. And without further ado, I'm going to start off with our girl in the know, the Joyzy Style Food News girl, Laurie. I think she's joining us this morning. Good morning, Laurie. We made it on the air.
Yay! Good morning. I was getting worried there for a little bit.
Oh, wow. I thought, oh, my God, here we go again. I mean, it literally was, there was nothing on my screen, and I said, we're not going to have a show. But, hey, I think the radio gods are did you say a little prayer for us, maybe?
Yes, when you said you were having trouble, I said, it's going to all work out. And see, it did. Yes, I said a little prayer.
Yeah, well, thank you to the radio gods and whoever else up there who pushed the button because it came on. So good morning there, Joyzy girl. I see that I've got, it's not food news, but I guess it's weather news. You've got a humdinger of a storm heading your way.
I know. Yep, this morning I spent the whole morning moving my parents' Christmas stuff out of the garage into the porch so I can get my car in there and protect it for a while if we have some flooding. We'll see.
I guess it kind of is foodie news. Wouldn't it be foodie news? Because I'm sure everybody is going to the grocery store cleaning out the shelves because of the stores. I guess it is kind of foodie news, right?
Yes. I had my mom at the food store yesterday. I parked because we drove around. I dropped her off in the front. And I said, Mom, you go food shopping. I'll wait here and just call me when you're ready and I'll swing around and come pick you up because it was a nightmare. Out of water and people are, it's scary.
What day is it supposed to hit?
I don't know. My parents have had the TV going for days now. They're saying maybe, I think, Monday into Tuesday, possibly to call them Frankenstorm. Have you heard that?
Frankenstorm. Yeah, I heard it was called Frankenstorm for Halloween. Well, you guys stay safe over there in Joyzy. It looks like it's going to be a rough one. And I guess we should talk about food news. We're supposed to have Aaron calling in, our new co-host. He's at a barbecue competition somewhere in Georgia. He may or may not be able to call in due to the competition, and he has to prepare the food and present it to the judges. So he's going to try to call in. But in the meantime, let's talk about some food news. What you got up your sleeve today?
Sure. Well, I found something really interesting. I thought instead of talking about the wine of the week, I'm going to talk about the world's most expensive cocktail.
Oh.
And would you like to take a guess as to how much it might cost?
How much it might cost? Let me think. I have no clue. Let me take a wild guess. I'll say somewhere. You're talking about now just for one cocktail. The world must have spent, I'll say $1,500.
Well, here we go. It was created by Salvatore Calabrese at the London Playboy Club. He's the mixologist. He created the world's most expensive cocktail for a mere $8,800.
Oh, a mere $8,800. Wow.
Yeah, that's what they said, a mere what does this pricey libation consist of? Well,
pray tell, please tell us.
A 1788 Claudie Griffier Vioxx Cognac, a 1770 Kumel liqueur, an 1860 Dub Orange Curacao, and two dashes, this is a circle, of Augustura bitters from the 1900s. And Salvatore is quoted as saying, all the years combined equals 730 years of history in a glass.
Wow, it's funny you're talking about this because our guest at 9 o'clock is actually coming on the show, Mark Spivak, to tell us about the history of spirits and booze and alcohol. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That might be a story he's probably interested in. Yeah.
I'm sure he knows already about this. I mean, the if you Google it for YouTube, it's really interesting to watch this guy. He was really good. And it said he broke the Guinness World Record, but Guinness officials are investigating if it is, in fact, more expensive. Supposedly, there's a cocktail currently on sale in Dubai. So then I was laughing because at the bottom it says, feeling a little cash-strapped, Grub Street has a bootleg version of the Calabrese Legacy. It'll cost you $2.60. I have no idea what that is. I do
now, there you go. And in fact, you could sit there all night probably drinking them and never even come close to spending $8,800.
I don't know. I think I could find
That's what the lady at the grocery store, I just remember what the lady at the grocery store told me that time when I was buying some $3 wine. And
mm-hmm.
I said, I know, it's cheap. She said, after the first bottle, does it really matter?
What were you buying? The two jug, what is it, $2 chuck? Actually,
no,
it was $3.
It was $3. It was actually $3 chuck. No, it was actually called Swan Creek, which is actually, it's really good wine. And of course, here in California, you can get inexpensive wine because we're so close to the source. But it's actually pretty good. They're Shiraz by Swan Creek. So, yeah, they have it. Actually, and then, and of course, while we're talking wine, and I don't know how we got on this, but my favorite of all favorites, which is $1.99 a bottle, and they actually had it on sale for $1 a bottle, is the Big Kahuna wine that they sell at a store called Fresh and Easy. So anyway, that's my kind of speed. So $8,800 for a glass. Can you imagine after it's made, like the waitress is taking it out to someone and she trips and spills it?
You're licking the glass. I would say, give me that glass. I didn't lick it yet. I'd want every penny's worth.
Yeah, really. Well, I won't be ordering one of those. I'll just tell you that.
No, me neither. I'll stick to my cheap California Merlots for under $10. I drink my wine every night. I don't.
You have a story about Merlot, don't you? Later.
Which one?
I don't know. I'm looking at your notes here. You had a story about Merlot.
Oh, you know, I think I removed that.
Oh, did you? Okay, well, what?
I didn't update you the copy.
Oh, well.
I kind of changed it a little bit. Okay, but no, I do have a story about Merlot, but it might be, we might postpone that one. We'll just see how we go if your barbecue guy checks in or not.
All right, well, Goats, you got another story for us?
Yeah, this is really good. Just a note for your listeners, if they'd like to see, I posted this on I have a like page for people who don't know this on Facebook. I posted it, what am I on now? Yesterday morning I posted it. It's the world's best bartender. Did you get a chance to see that?
I saw the video. It's a great video. I think that guy was it like in Russia or somewhere, some kind of competition, but he's amazing.
He was unbelievable. I could not believe that what this guy could do. I mean, I thought I could twirl. No, I'd like to twirl by the pond, but not. I can't do something like that. But anyway, if people want to check it out, they can either, you know, Google it for YouTube. It's the world's best bartender, or if they're on my like page, they can just go to Lori Jean, Vicky Rascala, Food Professional, and they can see my post there.
Yeah, what I'll do, too, is I'll actually share your post on the radio page later today, so if people want to see that link, it is a cool video, the guy mixing the drink. So, yeah, I'll put that on our radio page later today.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. Thank you. Okay. Oh, this was cute. I was thinking of you because you're just like a little kid when it comes to sweets and chocolate. But do you remember the cereal Frankenberry, Blueberry, and Count Chocula?
Yes. I've actually talked about that on the show before. It's one of my favorite. Count Chocula is one of my favorite cereals.
Are you serious? So it was mine too. I don't believe it.
I never liked Frankenberry. Frankenberry was like kind of too sweet, but y'all, yeah, the Count Chocolate, you can't beat that.
No, you can't. Oh, that's too funny. But this was a really cute story, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. But it says, Frankenberry, Boo Berry, and Count Chocolate are the popular kids' cereals of the 70s and 80s, and now enjoy a following when they're released around Halloween each year, and some fans stock up. October is the coolest month for Roger Barr. For a few happy weeks, grocery stores stocked the object of his desire, Boo Berry. That
now
is
wait a
very
second. So wait. So you mean that they don't make it year round anymore? They only make it during the Halloween? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, it's like a frenzy. It's hysterical. I was reading the article. I'm thinking, I cannot. I mean, I had to cut some of these people, but the quotes were riot with these people. What they do? I mean, there's a guy who buys them. I'll skip for a second and read you this one thing. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, I cannot believe this. And he's a smart cookie because this is what it says here. For those who run out, can turn to people like Josh Rhodes, who on eBay charges $7 per box from buyers. And last year, he says, he sold about 300 boxes and expects to sell about 350 this year.
No kidding. I never knew that. So they actually market it only during the month of October.
Yes, and there's all these people who order it in advance, and they run all over the place to try to get it. I don't know.
Stock up. I'll have to go check out my local market and see if they have it. So
good luck with that.
Of course, I haven't had it in years, but
now you
sparked my interest.
Well, you know what's funny? After I read this article, I'm going to go to the store and check to see if I can find it, too.
Hang on a second. I just noticed that our new co-host has signed on here on the show, and I guess I'll bring him into the Count Chocolate and Frankenberry conversation if he's got a minute. So hang on a second.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Aaron, are you there? I see your phone number lighting up. Are you there?
Keep the Count Chocula. Give me all the Frankenberries and the Boo Berries you can get your hands on. I'll eat every last one of them.
Good morning.
What's up? Good morning.
So you're out there in Georgia, up to your elbows in barbecue sauce?
We are in Hawkinsville, Georgia, for the Hawkinsville Harvest Festival barbecue competition. Right now, we've just finished turning in for pork loin and pork butts. We have ribs left on the smoker. We're about to peel those things off and cut up some ribs and turn those in. And
how many teams are there?
This is the first time they've done this event. There's only 24 teams, so it's kind of a small event. But they've turned it into like it's not just a barbecue event. This is like a full on harvest festival. So they've got bands all over, and they close down the street, and they've got vendors up and down the street, and I mean, it's like just a big party all the way, big block party.
All right. So you think your chances are good? Is everything cooking up okay on the smokers and grills today?
Oh, heck yeah. Everything's cooking up the way we like it. Now, that's not to say is it cooking up the way the judges like it, but it's cooking up how we like it.
Well, you know, inside that styrofoam container, when you turn it into the judges, didn't you know you're supposed to tape like a $100 bill to the inside flap?
We put a $100 bill underneath the pulled pork. So when they get to the bottom of it, hopefully they'll go ahead and just ring it up. So, I mean, we did do that. You really have to hide it underneath the pork because it has to go through a preliminary viewing to a person before they can actually turn it in. So we have to put it underneath all the meat. But so whatever judge gets to the bottom of the box, they're hopefully going to give us high marks.
Well, hopefully it's good enough that they actually eat to the bottom of the box. That's what you're hoping anyway, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. Maybe if I sprinkle some Count Chocula on top of it, they might get to the bottom of the box.
Isn't that interesting? I did not know that they only did those cereals in October.
And the Halloween months. I know it was a perfect time to come on to hear that story. I mean, that's pretty incredible. As far as growing up, I mean, when I grew up, we could get Frankenberry. We could get Count Chocula. And those things were good all year long. But now, for them to just come out in Halloween time, I guess that's one thing to make it to increase the demand by limiting the time that it's out and available. You can make a killing during those months.
Exactly. So, Laurie, what else does the story say?
Well, it says here, it's the best cereal there is, says the Los Angeles-based website administrator. He says, I eat as much blueberry as I can. And then it says, Mr. Barr's problem is that he can't eat as much blueberry as he would like to unless he lays away a year's supply. Not long after Halloween, the blueberry disappears from the stores like an apparition. I mean, these people are going crazy over it. I had no idea.
I didn't either.
It says the same sort of things haunts lovers of Count Chocula and the Frankenberry, the other two spectral cereals. A quest for Count Chocula will lead Ron Macedo, he's a 41-year-old Toronto food distributor, across the border this month to Buffalo, New York, in order to buy at least 10 boxes of chocolate for himself and at least 20 of the blueberry and frankenberry for his friends.
We go to Canada to smuggle in the Cuban cigars. They come across the border to smuggle in Count Chocula.
I was crying when I was reading them. These guys are nuts. He's bringing them back for me. What, do you wrap them up and give them as gifts? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really cute. It says, I'm a kid of the 70s, and what kid didn't eat the monster cereals? Mr. Barr and Mr. Mosquito are among devotees who visit supermarkets around Halloween to stock up on the super sweet, electric-colored Phantom cereals. Listen to this one.
You know, I have to say, I have a real problem because when I was a kid, blueberry was the favorite, and it was only because it was the only time I could say boob in front of my mom and not get slapped. That was the only time that I was allowed to say it. And so I made it a point to ask for boobberry every time. I never asked for boobberry. I'd always ask for boobberry every time that I asked for it. So I can get away with it, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I like that. Now, you know that I'm going to use that in a post somewhere on Facebook before the week is over. I'll be talking about boobberry.
Yeah, you know, I won't take the like on that either. very difficult to hit his like. Well, Aaron, you wouldn't care. You're a guy.
Oh, no, I did. Yeah, I'll only like it. If I could double like it, I'll like it. Double, I might have to like it, unlike it, and like it again just so that I can get my point across.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, too funny. But it just says here, enthusiasts often go to great lengths for their year's fix. David Lawrence, a 31-year-old public relations director, buys nearly 20 boxes of the three cereals annually. And around this time each year, there's pumpkin pie, squash, and frankenberry, he says. I guess there's a pumpkin pie one? I don't know.
What? That cannot be real. My feelings are hurt. If there's a pumpkin pie cereal and I ain't got my hands on a pumpkin pie cereal, my feelings are flat out hurt right now. How can I? There's no way I lived in the South my whole life and have never had a pumpkin pie cereal if it's available. I'm gonna promise you that.
Maybe it means there's pumpkin pie and he's comparing it with the frankenberry.
But you know what? If it doesn't exist, we may have come up with a great business idea. We need to check into that pumpkin pie cereal.
Pumpkin pie cereal? with heavy cream instead of milk. Oh, my God. I'm going to make a bowl of it right now.
Aaron, I cannot believe you just said my dad is the only person I ever saw put heavy cream on cereal. I can't believe you do that.
But with pumpkin pie cereal, you have to. You cannot limit yourself to milk with pumpkin pie cereal. It would have to be heavy cream. That's the only thing that would work.
I can't see. I hope I can still read. My eyes are tearing. I'm laughing so hard. This is hysterical. Okay. A few more lines. I can get through it. Oh, listen to this. A Walmart spokesman says its outlets sell tens of thousands of boxes of the cereal daily during October. It's all the people I just read about. They're all running there to Walmart and getting it.
That doesn't surprise me at Walmart.
Okay, that's kind of true. But I do know of at least one other person that will be buying it this October.
Who's that?
That will be me.
I think I know three.
Three, at least? Three? Mm-hmm. I'm good with that. Because I know but that's my thing is, it's absolute genius. You know you've created demand for it. We all grew up with it. There is a demand for those cereals. And then just limit the demand to once a year, and you will never stop selling that cereal.
That's what they said. Oh, it's unbelievable. As a matter of fact, it says here, let me just see. General Mills has no plans, obviously, to make the three cereals available year-round, says Mr. Zanudian, the marketing manager, in his email. Sure, I get some funny looks at the register, says the 35-year-old Orchard Park, New York resident, who buys about 40 boxes at a time for about $2 each at a Target store. It's worth it, he says. People are willing to pay an arm and a leg for this stuff.
Literally. Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to go get some this morning. When the show is over, I know exactly where I'm headed. So what other news story do you have?
It's so funny going from one extreme to the other. Well, believe it or not, it's that time of year again. It's cold and flu season. So, woo-hoo. This article is titled 11 Foods to Boost Your Immunity. Well, we know it's not those cereals.
This is not going to be as funny. This is going to be educational, Aaron, so we have to be.
Okay, well,
yeah, then, we have to,
if it's anything
something.
Educational, I'm totally boycotting learning stuff. So I'm gonna go pull these ribs off and then call you back.
You can go pick your ribs and come back and see us in a little bit.
Oh, Aaron,
right,
thanks for laughing.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was a pleasure. Look forward to many, many more.
Same here.
So, be back on shortly. All right, bye.
Good luck, Rip Boy. Okay, tell us about all the good foods that keep you from getting sick, Laurie.
If I can stop laughing. Okay, find the best solutions to fight your viruses can be right in front of you. You know, this is actually, though, I love this stuff. I love eating right and staying healthy. So this is my cup of tea. It says, we all know eating foods that are rich in nutrients can be good for your health, but some say eating them while you're sick is even better. Food plays a role in how we look, but we often forget that it massively affects how we feel, says the Huffington Post UK blogger Polly Noble. When you eat, you feed not only your stomach, but your cells. If those cells don't get nourished with the vitamins and minerals they need, your body can start to malfunction. Here are some of the tastiest solutions of fighting cold and flu viruses.
And I bet you Count Chocula and Frankenberry are not on the list, are they?
Absolutely not. So what do you think the number one thing is, obviously, when you have a cold or flu?
Oh, I'm going to say vitamin C, so it must be some kind of citrus. I would say oranges, right?
No, chicken noodle
soup.
Chicken soup. Oh, you can't go back. No. There's no editing here. This is live.
All right, so chicken soup.
Yep, Grandma was right. Nothing beats chicken soup for fending off sniffles. Keep some organic chicken stock on hand because studies have found that even commercial soup is as effective as homemade, which I was surprised to hear that.
Interesting.
Yep. Onion and garlic, of course. If you want to punch
onion
up the healing, your chicken soup or any other dish, add plenty of garlic and onions.
Okay.
Mushrooms. No herbal medicine cabinet should be without them. Mushrooms, yep.
Now, this is the funny kind that you find out in the woods and make you dance and do crazy things, or are these regular mushrooms?
Regular ones. I don't need that. I don't need those funny ones to make me laugh and dance. I just do it constantly. So.
Oh yeah. You're on a constant mushroom high, I think, right?
I think so. Oh yes, life is good. Do you like mushrooms?
Yes, I do. I actually eat a lot of mushrooms. Just about everything. Every time I cook, grill any vegetables or anything like that, I'm always putting mushrooms in there with it because I do like mushrooms. I like shiitake.
Okay.
I like the little what do you call the button mushrooms. So yeah, they're
yes.
all good.
Yeah, they're all good. I do. I love mushrooms too. But here's the next one. You were right then. The citrus fruits contain hefty doses, of powerhouse vitamin C. And studies have found that this antioxidant can reduce cold symptoms by 23%. And all that's needed is just 1 to 8 grams to do the trick of your citrus fruits. Yes, huge. So you were up there.
Yeah,
yogurt.
Yogurt. Not surprised that yogurt is, because I thought that dairy products were not good for you because it caused mucus and all that. We talked about that a few weeks ago.
Yes, and you know, it's funny, I have to admit, I was surprised when I saw yogurt come up because I thought, I would never have guessed that. The other few are obvious, too, when I start reading them, but I was really surprised because, as everybody knows, I live on yogurt. I mean, almost every day I have some, so. But it says, studies have shown that eating a cup of low-fat yogurt each day can reduce colds by 25%. And knock on wood, you know, it's interesting, but yeah, I very rarely ever catch a cold. But I don't have kids. I'm not around all that. And if my nieces and nephews come over to visit and they're sick, I'm like, go home. Come back when you feel better.
I'm not a real fan of yogurt. I think we talked about that before, too. But just saying 25% better chance if you eat yogurt every day?
Yes. Hmm. Yep. By eating low-fat yogurt each day can reduce colds by 25%.
I still like the idea of Count Chocula.
Hot tea is soothing and a great home remedy. We know that.
Yeah.
Now this I love. I buy the fresh ginger. Ginger comes to the aid when we're sick in some powerful ways. Besides soothing a scratchy throat, ginger is also a natural pain and fever reducer and a mild sedative. Which I can't believe ginger is a fever reducer.
I remember my grandmother she gave us ginger ale back when we were kids, and she would actually take or put extra ginger in the ginger ale. I guess it's got all kinds of soothing things for your digestive system and fever. And, I read that one time before. That is interesting. Ginger is a kind of a one that people don't use a lot of, but it's got a lot of medicinal, is that how you say it, values?
Yep. Yeah, medicinal, absolutely. Well, see, it's funny. I grate a little slice of the whole ginger in my tea when I have a cup of tea in the afternoon. So I'll grate a nice, piece of ginger in there. I love it. So, I mean, I just eat it because I like it, but I know that it's good for me too. And now I even better.
Is wine something that we can drink? Is wine good for you for cold?
Sure,
probably
care.
Not.
Who cares? I'm still drinking it. I will never pass up my wine time. 5 o'clock. Sometimes I'm like, 5 o'clock, please get here. I need my wine.
What other great foods are there? Honey. Oh yeah, honey. We all know about honey.
Yep. Honey, yes we do. Honey has numerous, here's that word, medicinal properties. And because it coats your throat, it is a natural way to soothe the sore throats. But it says here, look for the buckwheat honey, which has the highest I don't know buckwheat honey, do you?
No, I've never heard of buckwheat honey. I always buy the one in the little bear. So whatever is out there with the little bear container. You gotta have a little bear standing in your pantry.
You have to have the little bear. My parents have it in their cabinet. It looks so cute. And I open it up, it's like, there it is. It's like he's saying hi to me whenever I open the cabinet. Black pepper. I know
yes.
this for a fact.
And I like black pepper. I use black pepper on everything.
Oh, huge. Huge. I like the cracked, I use the cracked peppercorns. But it says, it's ironic that black pepper, a spice best known for making you sneeze, can ward off the sniffle. And
wow.
Black peppercorns are high in piperine. It's a compound known for its anti-fever and pain-relieving qualities. And I can't believe that. I have to say, when I was reading it, I put the cracked pepper on my Lebanese yogurt pretty much every day with olive oil, a little kosher salt, and then I eat it with Syrian bread, and that's my little snack, pizza bread.
So you're just the symbol of health, the way you eat over there.
I guess so.
I'm the symbol of unhealthy. You're the symbol of health.
No, you cook really, really healthy. You just binge on the ice cream and cookies afterwards.
Yes, I do have a little problem with the sweets. What other things do we have? Guess what? Our time is running out. What other
real quick, last line, spices. Make recipes more flavorful with garlic, thyme, rosemary, sage, and oregano. While spicing things up, you'll also get an added kick of immune boosters. Ta-da!
Ta-da. You're done. Well, thank you very much for the food news, and especially the story about Count Chocula and Frankenberry. That one made my day. And stay safe over there in New Jersey with big Frankenstorm heading your way. And I guess they say, as they say, batten down the hatches.
Oh, jeez. Yes, thank you so much. It was fun.
Yes, it was. And there you go. That was Laurie with her Joycey style food news, and she's here every week to give us some information about the foodie world and food news that's out there. And Laurie, I guess we'll see you next Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be here.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
And there you go. We're going to take a quick little break here, and then we'll be bringing on our next guest. Very interesting story about a new book that's been written about the history of spirits, and I'm not talking about the Halloween type, I'm talking about the drinking type, and I think you'll find this to be a very interesting story, and we'll find little details about the book that's coming out in November for Mark. So everybody hang tight, we're going to take a brief break here, and then we'll bring on our next guest, and I'm going to play, since we're always talking about food, I'm going to play Chip Wilson's song, Eat, Eat, Eat. Chip Wilson was one of our guests, a few months back, and we'll play his song, Eat, Eat, Eat. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes.
So she eats everything she sees. I'm not worried about her feeling right as long as she leaves something for me. She likes spicy, she likes sweet. All she do is eat, eat, eat. She makes any old lucky dog feel like a girl's best friend. She eats off the low part of the hog, right on up to the high end. She likes greens, she likes meat. All she do is eat, eat, eat. She's not exactly overweight, but neither is she underfed. You want to make the girl feel good, give her a double helping of a hot bread pudding. Give the girl some good seafood if you want to make her feel real nice. A bowl of gumbo puts her in the mood if you would follow it with shrimp and rice. A toupee with crawfish meat. All she do is eat, eat, eat. Bread pudding. Give the girl some good seafood if you want to make her feel real nice. A bowl of gumbo puts her in the mood. If you follow it with shrimp and rice, hate to play with crawfish meat. All you do is eat, eat, eat. Drinks of coffee extra sweet. All she do is eat, eat, eat.
Welcome back to the Green Ideas Radio Show. That was Chip Wilton and the song Eat, Eat, Eat. And we welcome you guys back for another half hour, actually an hour. But our next guest is coming on. He's got this cool new book that he's publishing coming out in November, and I wanted to have Mark on because it's such an interesting topic, and I think you guys will enjoy it. And we're having a little technical difficulties here for 1 second. Give me a second. Okay, we got Mark Spivak. Mark, you there with us? I want to make sure we got you on
Absolutely.
The line.
Absolutely.
Hey, good
Thanks
morning.
For
Welcome
me.
To the show. Thank you for
Thanks
coming
for having
on.
Me.
I wanted to have you on to talk about this new book that you're coming out with called Iconic Spirit, An Intoxicating History.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a really interesting book, and just wanted to have you on to tell our listeners a little bit about your new book and you know, what made you decide to write a book about the history of spirits.
Well, actually, it started one day when my mind was wandering, as it usually does, and I was thinking about Campari, because I had done a story on Campari about 6 months earlier.
Okay.
And I really didn't like it. It was way too bitter for me. And as you know, we have these taste receptors on our tongues. And the taste receptor for bitterness is basically there to warn us that we're about to consume something that might be poisonous or toxic.
Huh.
So with Campari, what you have is this stuff that your brain is telling you, don't drink this because it might kill you. But it's been
right.
branded as one of the sexiest beverages on earth, and they sell 27 million bottles of it a year.
Wow.
Yeah, so I started thinking about that, and I started talking to scientists that were doing research on the physiology of taste, and none of them actually agreed, but it kind of led me to other things. I kept finding things. Things like the gin craze, which was the greatest epidemic of mass drunkenness in human history. It occurred in England in the first half of the 18th century, and basically 15 or 20% of the population was drunk for 40 or 50 years.
Sounds like my house every weekend.
Sounds like your house, yeah, mine too at times. But it spiraled totally out of control and came very close to bringing down the British Empire.
Huh. So that's the story of that is in your book?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And what's some other interesting story. I was reading on your, by the way, before we go too far, I want to mention your website for the listeners who want to check out more about your book that's coming out. It's called www.iconicspirits.net. You can find out more details. But what's some more interesting little topics that are in your book?
Well, one really fascinating thing is the connection between moonshine and NASCAR, which a lot of people are not aware of. Because NASCAR has been very conscientious about trying to separate themselves from that part of their history. But basically, all of the early drivers were bootleggers, and that's really how it started. They would work on their cars to try to elude the revenue agents, and they started racing informally among themselves. And in 1947, they got together and founded NASCAR.
Huh. And that was all,
so
all from bootlegging, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So I went to North Carolina, and I interviewed a guy by the name of Junior Johnson, who was in the NASCAR Hall of Fame,
yeah.
And he was the one bootlegger that the law could never catch. And he told me some amazing stories.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. It's gone from bootlegging to NASCAR with moonshine, and I think if you go to a NASCAR event, you probably will still find moonshine, but it'll be up in the stands.
Yeah, I'll bet you will. And, of course, now it's legal. There's actually legal moonshine being sold in liquor stores.
Yeah, we actually had a group on a few months ago called the Moonshine Bandits, and they've got a product that's called that moonshine that they sell. So, yeah, you see that quite often now. It's sold
right.
legally in the stores. So what other great little stories does your book have?
Well, there's a really strong thread of entrepreneurship that runs through this. People that created something out of nothing and just took enormous personal risks to do so. And probably a good example of that is Patron Tequila. because the guy who started Patron Tequila, John Paul DeJuria, grew up in a foster home. He was in a street gang in East L.A. He was homeless twice in his life. And today he's number 66 on the Forbes 400 list of the richest people in America.
Wow, and John Paul's the one that did the Paul Mitchell hair product.
Exactly.
Too,
he started John Paul Mitchell Systems with a friend of his, Paul Mitchell, and a $350 investment, and he was homeless. He was living out of his car. So there's a lot of those types of stories in there, people that had these visions of things that they could accomplish at points when it didn't really look as though they could accomplish anything at all.
Now, your book is being published and coming out in November, correct?
November 6th. I think there might be some sort of election going on that day as well.
I was just going to say that. So that date sounds familiar.
Right. But this now, is obviously the more important event.
Exactly.
Right.
Go vote and also go buy Mark's book. That's what you should
right.
have posters put out in front of your house.
Well, you can only vote once, but you can buy as many books as you want.
There you go. So, Mark, you're actually quite a busy guy. Not only are you an author, you do like a wine spirits editor. You're a blogger. You're a wine consultant, and maybe
right.
why don't you share with our listeners some of the other things that you do about your blog and some of the other projects you work on.
Well, I really started as a wine writer, and that's what I've sort of been doing for the last 20 years. Did a column for the Palm Beach Post for about 5 years.
Okay.
And for the last 10 or 12 years, I've been the wine and spirits editor for the Palm Beach Media Group, which is a bunch of glossy magazines down here in South Florida. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous type magazines, basically.
Okay.
And I freelance for a whole bunch of national publications. I do wine consulting for people. You know, I've kind of forgotten like half the things I actually do.
You sound like you're kind of a busy guy. Now, you're also a host on an NPR show called Uncorked.
I was for 12 years. Actually, the station that I was on was sold last year, and it was sold to an outfit called Classical South Florida, which immediately came in and junked all the NPR programming and the local programming and put in their own format, which was 24/7 classical music. So.
So you're out of a job after 12 years there. Now, what was Uncorked, I guess, was about wine. I guess you went on and talked about different wines each week.
Yeah, if you're familiar with Car Talk on NPR, Click and Clack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, it was the wine version of Car Talk.
Okay.
Because we got a lot of information across to people, but we didn't take ourselves very seriously. And we just treated wine as a subject for conversation, which is sort of unusual, because most of the time when you hear people talking about wine, it's some pompous ass who's lecturing to you.
Yeah, I've met a couple of those pompous asses. They don't really care for my type of wine when I tell them I'm buying a product like Two Buck Chuck and
right.
the Big Kahuna wine. So, yeah, I've met some of those.
Well, the recession has been the great leveler in that regard. Most people now are right at that $10, $12, $15 price point at the most.
Right. And there's a lot of good wines that are in that $10 to $12 range.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I was looking here at your bio, and it says you're a wine consultant. So what does a wine consultant do?
Well, for example, I've been working with a local country club for about 6 or 7 years, and we have regular tastings in the season. We have wine dinners. I do staff training, you know, that type of thing to try to, you know, awaken an awareness in the floor staff of what kinds of products they have to sell. And it has really raised the consciousness of wine in this particular, you know, country club and raised the revenue also.
Well, that's good. Well, that's where they make their money, right, from alcohol and wine sales?
Well, yeah, they make their money in a lot of ways. We have a lot of golf communities down here in Florida.
Oh, okay.
So they've got a lot of profit centers. But, you know, basically what they're trying to do is offer their members an amenity that they can't get on the outside.
Now, let's go back to your book here for a second. The book, by the way, for those who may be just joining us, is called Iconic Spirits and Intoxicating History. Can people find your book when it comes out November 6th on your website, but also at like some of the other locations on the web, like Amazon, those type places?
Yeah, they can actually find it right now on Amazon. They can pre-order it if they want and get a discount. As of November 6th, it'll be on the shelves of the bookstores, whatever bookstores still exist around the country, which I guess would be Barnes & Noble and Books A Million, basically, and
right.
Hopefully some independents.
Well, it's always tough nowadays to come out with a book, and how's it been going so far as pre-sales and pre-interest in the book?
So far, so good. I mean, I have a unique product because nobody has ever actually done this. You know, the spirits books that are out there tend to be written by bartenders,
right.
And they're either collections of cocktail recipes or they're very in-depth looks at one particular spirit. There was a guy who wrote a book on bitters, for example, last year that actually won a James Beard Award. I haven't read the book. It's supposed to be really interesting, but, you know, something like that would have a more limited audience. Whereas
right.
This is actually for, not even necessarily for spirits geeks or even for people who drink, but just people who appreciate a good story, or 12 of them.
So give us another topic in the book.
Well, I talk about absinthe. Absinthe, you might have heard, was basically, I call it the LSD of the 19th century. And it was the favorite spirit of poets and painters, people like Van Gogh and Baudelaire and Picasso, and you know, in Paris, basically around the turn of the 20th century. And
right.
It was regarded at the time as the most dangerous substance on earth, far more dangerous than any drug or any other spirit out there. And it was widely believed that it caused hallucinations. And it was widely believed that if you took, say, one shot of absinthe, you would be launched on a downward spiral toward insanity and death.
Wow.
For reasons now that nobody can figure out. But it just became the repository in people's minds of all of the evil in the universe. It was finally banned. It was outlawed in the U.S. in 1907. And not really legalized until almost a century later. You can now buy it.
That's kind of like, isn't that sort of the story of Coca-Cola? Coke was,
well,
yes. Like that?
Coca-Cola originally did have cocaine in it.
Right.
But that was, you know, that was back in the day when people didn't really go to doctors. And there were a lot of patent medicines out there and things that, you know, if you were sick, you went to a pharmacy. And the pharmacist basically gave you cough syrup or something that was laced with a drug of some kind.
Exactly. So when your book comes out November 6th, it's,
mm-hmm.
First of all, I would tell you that's perfect timing because that sounds like a great Christmas gift. And
Exactly. It's 1695, so it's a really nice gift if you want to look good but not spend a lot of money because it's very attractive. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with the way it looks, but they did a gorgeous job on it. It has an insert of color photographs. And it has some really nicely screened photographs at the beginning of each chapter.
Yeah, I got a picture of the cover of the book on our site here this morning for the show,
mm-hmm.
And it looked like a very nice, well done book and quality. And for $16.95, you can't beat it. And
right.
Are you going on a book tour?
Well, I'm doing a lot of internet stuff, and I'm going to be doing a lot of radio. And local events, local touring, and then I'll be going up to places like the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky and doing a bunch of events up there.
Interesting. Now, I assume all your plans and as far as your schedule for the book tour will be on your website?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I'll mention your website again. And there's a link on this morning's show here that you all have to do is click and go, but it's www.iconicspirits.com. .net. And Mark, we appreciate you coming on the show this morning to talk about your book and wish you much success. And it sounds like a very intriguing, interesting book for people who want to find out more about the history of some of their favorite intoxicating drinks. And
right.
Plus the name is great for Halloween, Iconic Spirits. You can think of
right.
it two different ways.
Exactly.
Well, Mark, much for coming on the show, and keep us posted. Are you got any more books up your sleeve, any other things you're working on?
Well, I have a couple of projects that I want to do, and of course it's going to depend on how well this one does, so I'm putting a lot of effort into this right at the moment. Basically, publishers are not risk takers. They like to see results.
True.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with this one, and keep us posted. And everyone who's listening, make sure you check out Mark's website, go buy his book, and buy, like Mark said earlier, buy a couple of them, send them to your friends, especially it'd be a great Christmas present. And Mark, we appreciate you coming on and being on our show this morning.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it as well.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There you go. That's Mark Civic, his great new book, and check it out. And we're going to take a brief break here, and we'll be coming back on with our next guest, which is Bellamy Baylor. And Bellamy's a great country music singer. I think you guys will really like her music. She's got a kind of unique blend of country and blues, and I think it's really, you'll really appreciate her music. So everybody hang tight here. We're going to take a brief break. I want to play some one of our past guests, Cult Brothers, and their song Ghost Town. And then when we get back here, we'll be chatting for a bit and then having Bellamy Baylor on. So everybody hang tight. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes. Everyone, stay tuned.
Echo of my footsteps, match the beating of my heart. The shadows and the loneliness since we've been apart. I'm haunted by heartache and a never-ending swirl of desert dust and tumbleweeds. You've left me in a world that's a ghost town.
That was
was the Coleman Brothers and their song Ghost Town. The Coleman Brothers were on our show a few weeks back, and great interview, great guys. And if you missed the show, you can go back and listen to that one. By the way, too, any shows, all of our shows are archived. All you have to do is just go to the blogtalkradio.com and put in /Green Ideas. And when you do, then the page will come up, and there'll be all the shows, the archive shows for the past year. If there's some of your favorites or some that you've never heard before, you can actually go there and listen to the shows. And I mentioned earlier this morning that we broke all the records on our show for listeners last week. We really do appreciate everyone tuning in each and every week to our shows. And we are moving up in the ranks and have been in the top 10. We went as high as number 2 several times, and we appreciate that. We couldn't do it without the listeners and the support we get from everybody out there. And also, I just want to mention, speaking of support, if you are interested in being on the show in the future, all you have to do is contact me through Facebook, or you can send an email to me at greenideas@earthlink.net. We'd love to have you on the show. If you have anything to do with food or anything in that category, heck, we'll bring you on if it isn't food-related. The old slogan we used to have was, if you can boil a hot dog, you can be on our show. So if you'd like to be on the show to tell people about your product or a little bit about yourself, let me know. We're always looking for interesting guests. And if you want to be a sponsor, same thing. We have a great sponsorship program, very inexpensive to be a sponsor. In fact, we are looking for new sponsors now. We go through 3-month intervals, and we're setting up some new ones as we speak. But if you like to promote your show, we do have a growing audience, and it's a great way to let people know about your product and hopefully send sales your way. And we're going to be taking a brief break here for a moment, and our next guest, Bellamy Baylor, will be joining us. I think you guys will really enjoy her music. Like I said earlier, she's got a kind of a unique sound that's a little bit different, and great, great music. So I'm going to, if I can get this system to cooperate with me here, I'm going to play one of Bellamy's songs and take a break, and then hopefully if Blog Talk Radio lets me continue doing this morning, as you can tell, I'm stalling, we will have on Bellamy to talk about her career, what she's up to, what's going on in her life in the music world. Here we go. I think I got it working now. I'm going to play one of Bellamy's songs. It's called Little More You, and then hopefully when we come back, we'll have Bellamy on the phone here with us. So everybody hang tight. This is Bellamy Baylor, Little More You.
Honey, I just want a little more.
That was Bellamy Baylor, A Little More You, and if everything's working the way it's supposed to now, I should have Bellamy on the phone here with us. Good morning or good afternoon, I guess, for you, Bellamy. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank. It's almost afternoon. It's about 11:30 here in Nashville.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. You're not on the East Coast. You're in Nashville, so you're only 2 hours difference from me. Welcome to the show. What a great song. And I have to tell you that this is a compliment, because when I was a younger guy, my favorite singer was Barbara Mandrell. And I don't know if anyone's ever told you that, but you have sort of a sound. You sound like Barbara Mandrell to me, and your music is fantastic.
You know, actually, you're not the first person, you know, to say that there was some semblance there of Barbara Mandrell. So I do take that as a compliment. She's a fantastic singer and performer. So to be have my name breathed in the same sentence as hers is a tremendous compliment. So thank you very much.
It's really excellent music, and you have that sort of that bluesy sort of R&B sound to your country music. It's not your standard country music, and I really enjoy listening to your music, and thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning from Nashville. So tell us a little bit about Bellamy Baylor. How did you get into singing? I was reading some of your bio. It sounds like you've been doing it basically from the time you came out of the womb.
I have, pretty much. I am a native of Nashville, which there's plenty of natives around Nashville. I grew up with a whole pile of them, but not a whole lot of them proceed on to be involved in the music industry. But my parents were transplants here because of the music industry, and I was raised in a family of musicians and songwriters, and that was, you know, I wrote my first song, well, the first song that I can actually remember the words to and how it goes, whenever I was six, and I was probably about 12 before I realized that everybody didn't write songs, because I just kind of thought that was what you did. I mean, you just made up songs, and everybody wrote songs and sang their songs. So, yeah, it was always been part of my life, and I minored in music at the University of Tennessee, and main reason I didn't want to major in music is I hate music theory. So I thought that would be, you know, thought that would be a lot easier, but I was terribly mistaken.
Well, the first song you wrote when you were six, what was it called?
It was called "He's a Pro Kisser." I never kissed anybody before, but it was called "He's a Pro Kisser." You know, I still remember how it goes.
maybe you should cut that one on one of your albums.
I know. Wouldn't that be hilarious? There you go. He's a pro kisser. So I guess, you know, I've always enjoyed writing things that were fictional. I don't know. I guess at 6 years old, I was thinking, you know, that was the way to go. But anyway.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, I used to write poetry, and I've often thought about going back and take some of my old poetry and make it into a song and give it to somebody who knows how to sing. And I always liked doing that. So yeah, maybe that's what it was. You were just a songwriter at heart right from the beginning, and you took it from there. And your music is just unique. And I really like the way the sound of it is something different. And how's it going in Nashville as far as your career?
It's going great. October has been a tremendously busy month for me. I mostly play around the Nashville area, and I've been really blessed to play a lot of great gigs around here. And a lot of times, you know, in Nashville, it's just been kind of like interspersed gigs, you know, like a couple a week maybe or something like that. But in October, I had like 2 or 3 weeks where I had like 3 gigs in a row, which is a lot for me. I know that there's people out there that are, you know, doing hundreds of shows a year, but October seemed to really, you know, pick up a lot for me. So that was exciting, and I got to do several shows that were like, you know, 2 hour long sets. So that's lots of fun when you get to pull out tons of material, and you know, so that's just been a lot of fun. A lot of band, full band gigs, and acoustic gigs, kind of interspersed in there. A little bit of everything.
Well, I have to ask the probably the obvious question, and you're probably asked this over and over again, but for our listeners, they probably all want to know, the name Bellamy is a different name. Where does the name Bellamy come from?
The name Bellamy comes from the French phrase Bellamy, which means beautiful friend.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I guess just that's B-E-L-L-E-A-M-I. B-E-L-L-A-M-Y is a much, I guess, easier spelling. I'm thankful to go to have the easier spelling. It's not something that a lot of people call me Melanie. They introduce myself, and if there's talking around, you know, then it always ends up being Melanie, and it's like, no, Bellamy. Bellamy like the Bellamy brothers.
Well, it's really a unique name, and by the way, too, for those that are listening, you can find out more information about Bellamy and her music on her website, which is, it's actually very easy, BellamyBaylor.com, B-E-L-L-A-M-Y, Baylor, B-A-Y-L-O-R.com, and Bellamy, I'm going to play another one of your songs here. The one I really like is called Love Songs, Leave That Out. Now, did you write this song?
I did write this song. And as far as musical instruments go, I am kind of a jack of all trades and master of none. So my first love in terms of instruments is the saxophone. I started playing as a kid and dearly, dearly love it. So whenever we did this song, I had always heard having sax on it. I didn't play the sax on this, so don't get overly excited, because it required somebody with more discipline than me. There's not a whole lot of calls to, you know, get out and play saxophone around Nashville, but anyway, so I pushed to have saxophone on it, and I think that it was, you know, the perfect thing, and it kind of gives that, I don't know, that smoky, dark feel of, you know, all the things that love songs leave out, that those, you know, hooky little love songs we hear on the radio don't tell you about. So that's where this song came from.
All right. We're going to play Love Songs, Leave That Out by Bellamy Baylor. And everybody hang tight. We'll be back here in about 3.5 minutes.
Turn off the radio. I can't take no more of those sappy, sappy love songs. Telling stories all wrong. Someone tell us like it is, not just about that first kiss, but the happily ever after that turned into a hug that fell.
Hey, yeah, yeah. They don't tell you what's up. Do something really special. So that's my
that's the extent of my baking experience.
Hey, if I would say if you're going to be baking somebody's wedding cake, that's quite an adventure right there. So good luck.
Yeah,
don't mess it up.
Well, I did my sister's wedding cake. It was the first wedding cake I actually did, and it was 7 tiers.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was gigantic. I had to stand on a stool to cut it. But it stayed upright the entire time. It was beautiful. So, anyway, but, yeah, we can listen to the song.
When you hang up the singing, maybe you got a second career in the works. You're going to turn into a baker on the side.
Oh, good gracious. I don't know about that. I definitely enjoy the writing and singing more, even though, you know, baking is a nice hobby. It's a nice hobby.
All right, we're going to play your song, You're a Good Salesman, and then we'll come back and chat for a few more minutes. Everybody hang tight. This is Bellamy Baylor, You're a Good Salesman. We'll be back here after the song. Song, Bellamy.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show this morning and joining us and let us play some of your music. It's really good stuff, and I wish you much success. I didn't ask you the main question. What's the name of your album?
It's named Bellamy Baylor.
There you go.
I fought long and hard on that one. That's a toughie there.
That's a toughie. If you guys wanted to find out more about Bellamy and her music and go buy some of her music, you can check it out on her website, which is also really easy to remember, BellamyBaylor.com. And I assume people can find your music on some of the other music sites like CD Baby, et cetera.
Yeah, Amazon, iTunes. They can listen on Spotify and Rhapsody, any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Great. And you can also find Bellamy on Facebook, become a fan, or hit, I guess they don't call it fan pages anymore, but hit
like.
The like on her on her page. And that's easy, too. It's just Bellamy Baylor. Just go to Facebook.
Easy.
And Bellamy, thank you very much for coming on the show and keep us
thank
posted
so
as
much.
Things move along. And I really enjoy your music and wish you the best.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Frank.
Thank you. You take care.
You too.
And there you go. That's Bellamy Baylor. Check it out. Love her music. It's unique sounding. Got sort of that bluesy R&B, smoky sound for country music. And we're getting close to the end of the show, but before we close out, I see that my buddy Aaron is back. And Aaron, if you're there, let me press the buttons here. Hopefully I can get you in Georgia.
I think
you
got
the
right
there.
I'm here. You get the right button?
I hit the right button. So what's going on over there in the barbecue world?
Well, we finished all our turn-ins. We're just waiting to hear if the way Georgia Barbecue Association works is you turn in your food.
Yeah.
You turn in each box for the sections, and then they let you know if you make it to the final. The top three people go to a final draw, so you have to turn in a second box. So we're just waiting here if we've made it to the finals or not. And then later on this afternoon, we will hear how we've done. But right now, everybody's pretty much exhausted. Just you figure this way. We got here. I got up yesterday morning at 5. I went to work, worked all day, left straight from work, drove 3.5 hours to get here. I got here, and we started drinking beer the moment I got out of the car. Switched from beer to Crown about 15 minutes after I got out of the car. Haven't slept and haven't stopped drinking beer since I got here. So it's been a long, grueling day.
But that's what it's all about. It's the whole adventure. It's the camaraderie. It's the drinking. Why do you think they have barbecue?
That's what it's made for. That's the whole reason they make slow and low. Slow and low cookers, the reason that was invented was so you can get as drunk as you want to get and forget about your food, and it still come out good.
Exactly. So you won't know the results till later on. And by the way, we need to put a plug in for your partners there. You want to put a plug in about their website?
Oh, yeah. BaxtersOriginal.com.
Okay.
That's the team that we're on is sponsored by Baxter's Original. Our team is Aunt Mary's Barbecue Brigade.
Okay.
And he's like, he's the wood guy. He's the up-and-coming, taking over the wood industry, where it just has the smoker wood chunks, good for competition barbecue or even just backyard cooking. If you want, you know, wood chunks, he's got wood chunks and wood chips and used sawdust and an electric smoker. I mean, he's got it all. So
BaxtersOriginal.com. It's good stuff. BaxtersOriginal.com. I've used this stuff. It's great. He's got all types of different woods for your smokers, and I actually use it on my grill, wrap it up and put it on the grill too. With the charcoal.
I use it at home on everything. I throw in some foil and throw it on the charcoal whenever I'm doing that. And it's pretty much just the way I use just because the smoke does add flavor, and it's necessary if you want to really up your game. Even if you're just grilling, just take some wood chips and put them in some foil and set them right on top of your coals and let those chokers smoke while you're grilling. That really changes the tone of everything.
Yeah, he sent me some apple wood back a couple years ago, and I used that, and it does add a unique taste to your food. So I guess I'll have to tell you good luck. Let us know how it turns out, and hopefully you don't come in 24th.
Well, I'm hoping not 24th.
My last competition in ribs, I came in 32nd out of 33 teams. So we still haven't made it dead last. So we're hoping to not make it dead last today.
All right, Aaron, well, keep us posted. Let us know what happens out there. And thank you for joining us this morning. You missed a great singer. I don't know if you heard her song a little while ago.
I did hear her song. It was awesome. I actually put it on speaker so everybody could hear it.
All right.
That was pretty awesome. So, yeah, I mean, it was good. Sorry I missed most of our time this week, but we'll definitely make up for it.
That's all right. We know that the barbecue competition is important, plus the drinking side, too, so we'll give you a little slack. And everybody, Aaron will be joining us as our co-host from now on, and I'm sure he's going to have some of his friends show up, like Hank Bob and some other folks may show up in the coming weeks. And Aaron, good luck out there in the competition, and keep me posted.
Thanks, brother. Will do.
All right. Take care. Everybody, we appreciate you joining us this morning on the show, and keep coming back and listening each and every Saturday. Keep running those numbers up. We appreciate all the listeners. And I want to close out the show with a Big Earl song. Big Earl, I'm going to play as Low Cash Blues. Big Earl's going to be coming and joining us on the show next week. Everybody, have a nice weekend. For those of you on the East Coast, down the hatches. And we're going to close out with Big Earl, Low Cash Blues. Everyone have a nice weekend. Take care, and we'll see you next weekend.
as I can remember. I've been crying about these low cash blues. Long as I can remember, I've been crying about these low cash.